Awesome. You guys ready for the word? Yeah. All right, you guys going to shout down the preacher tonight? Yeah. Come on, come on. You guys going to shout him down tonight? Yeah. This is Gabriel Webb. Yeah. Gabe and Ashley are taking over GM Kids, which we're kicking off here in a couple weeks. And he is a fantastic minister, and he's a fantastic man of God. So let's receive him in the word of God tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This thing is... How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Man, let's be a little bit more engaged tonight. Amen? All right. I just love it that you guys are so loud and responsive. Consider him. All right, you got your Bibles tonight? Open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. You guys know what we're doing tonight? What are we studying? We're studying the shield, right? So we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. Sorry. It's got a new Bible, so I'm kind of excited to use it tonight. If you're talking, I might throw it at you, so don't talk. If you're going to talk, talk to me, but don't talk to anybody else. I will call you out. It'll be fun. And you will be embarrassed. And I will laugh. And so will everybody else. And you will be humbled. And God will be exalted. So don't talk. All right? But if you're going to talk, talk to me. All right. Ephesians 6, verse 10. We're studying the armor of God. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Finally, my brethren," or my brothers, "be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." How much of it? The whole armor. "That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waists with truth." With what?
Truth.
With truth. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one." Go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy, chapter 6. My goodness. It's not good to be the last one there, is it? First Timothy 6. Is there a First Timothy 6? Am I the only one not there? Does somebody else want to read for me? First Timothy 6, verse 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and the only sovereign, because it's sovereign in your translation probably, and the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see or who no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen." Now Paul writes to Timothy again in 2 Timothy, and he says this in chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Awesome. We're talking about the shield of faith tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we just acknowledge you God, we thank you that you're here with us. God, we thank you that you love us. God, we thank you for your Son that laid down his life for us. God, we thank you that tonight we can enter your presence, and we've already entered your presence because of what you did on the cross for us. And so tonight we're asking that you would speak to us. God, you know what each of us needs, and so we're asking you'd speak to each of us individually where we are and how you need to do it, however you want to do it. God, we're desperate for you. We want to hear from you. And God, we're asking that you'd strengthen our hearts, God. God, that you would enable us to finish and to fight this fight. And God, to not give up and to not grow weary. God, above all, God, we're asking that you would teach us how to walk in faith and to fight this fight, good fight of faith. God, we love you. We ask that we would not only hear the word, but God, you teach us how to do it, how to obey it, how to apply it in our lives in this day, in this age. God, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. So in Ephesians 6, we're talking about the armor of God. Ephesians 6:10, we're talking about the armor of God. We've already talked about the buckle of truth, right? And then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, okay? And then we talked about the gospel of peace, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, okay? Next thing we're talking about is the shield of faith. But we first have to understand what's going on in the line of, what's going on in the midst of Paul and what he's saying. What's the context? What is he trying to get to us? So I did a little study for you, and I want to share it with you. If we're studying Ephesians 6:10 in the context, Paul ultimately he's talking about resisting and enduring. He's talking about fighting a fight, right? Right? Come on. He's talking about fighting a fight. I'm glad somebody's here. My goodness. He's talking about fighting a fight. He's talking about enduring. He's talking about resisting. For instance, in verse 11, it says, pull on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. To stand against, it means to stand in front of and to oppose something. The idea of standing against is to stand in front of something as you are opposing something. Okay? And then in verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Well, the word wrestling, it means to engage actively in a one-on-one battle. So now, first we're standing against, and we're just standing, ready to fight. And second thing it goes into is now we're wrestling, and now we're engaging in a one-on-one battle. Okay, in verse 13, in the first part, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. The withstand means to vigorously oppose. It also means to stand face-to-face against somebody who's trying to defend you or somebody who's trying to come against you. Okay? And then also he goes in the second part of 13 where he says, in the evil day and having done all, to stand. And so first he comes to you and he says, look, stand. Be ready to stand. Prepare yourself. Equip yourself to stand and to be ready for the enemy. Second thing he says is now that you're standing, wrestle and fight. And then he says, you're going to overcome, you're going to beat him. And then this last one, which we just read, it says to stand, to be found standing after a battle. So what he's saying, look, and these are all just this quick interpretations of what he was saying in the Greek, but it doesn't really matter. The idea is that he's saying, you got to stand. You got to stand in front. You got to oppose the enemy. You got to oppose wicked forces. Okay? You got to wrestle them. And then after you've wrestled them, he expects you with this armor to stand again in front of them after the battle. Okay? And then we go to verse 14 where it says, stand therefore. And this means, now that you've already won, stand again and do it all over again. So he's saying, stand therefore. Now that you've already won, now that you've already wrestled, now that you've already resisted and gone against the devil and his schemes and his plans, stand again, taking up the whole armor of God. Which is where we get verse 14. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And again, in verse 16, this word quench means to extinguish. Your translation is probably say extinguish. In the NIV, I think it says extinguish. It also means to put out, to wipe out, to do away with. You could almost translate it by saying to destroy. For instance, when the darts come, it doesn't just hit you and it's that's it, but it actually hits the shield and it is actually destroyed. Does that make sense? But he says that the shield of faith quenches or destroys all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. All of the flaming arrows of the evil one. What Paul is ultimately saying is he's saying that we need to resist the devil in his plans. How many know that there is a real devil?
Yeah, he's a liar.
He is a liar. But there is a real devil. And we're not going to be here in the 21st century and say, well, the devil, he's just not around today and he doesn't do his stuff. No, he does his stuff and he's still around and he's still at work. The Bible says that he is like in 1 Peter. Actually, we're going to read it, 1 Peter 5. It says that he is like a roaring lion. And the idea of a roaring lion is something that is seeking for something to devour, someone whom he may devour. Look, the devil's out to get you. I'm not speaking death over you. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just speaking the reality. He's out to get you. He's out to stop you. But what's he out to stop you from? The Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that because we are righteous, we have inherited a promise. And that promise is eternal life with God. Amen? Amen. So this is our promise. Our promise is that we will have an everlasting, eternal, right relationship with God. Because through faith, we believed unto salvation. Right? And now, I came off the stage. And now, we're going to fight to get there. The reality is that you have a promise. And your promise is an everlasting, eternal relationship with God. Amen? But the devil wants to stop you from getting there. He wants to hinder you and do everything he can to tell you or to get you to believe that you don't deserve it or that it's not for you. He's going to persecute you. He's going to deceive you. He's going to accuse you. These are his names. He's a persecutor of the church. He's the deceiver. And he's the accuser of the brethren. Right? And he's going to do everything he can to stop you from getting your promise. And so we take up the whole armor of God. Why? So that we can resist the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, or therefore subject yourself in obedience to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some of you are resisting. You're resisting and you're fighting sin and fleeing from the devil. The Bible says to flee youthful lusts and to flee the desires of the flesh. Amen? But the Bible says to resist the devil. And the reason why some of us are getting beat up in here is because when we have accusation or somebody comes against us or we hear voices telling us that we're not worthy, we flee and we try and run away. But yet when sin comes, we try and fight sin and we watch that movie or we put ourselves in a situation with our girlfriend or with our boyfriend and we do these things and we're trying to fight sin. Look, don't fight sin. Flee from sin and fight the devil. Amen? Yeah. So we have to understand that we're fighting the devil. We're not fighting sin. We're fighting the devil. He has schemes. He has plans. He's crafty. Genesis 3, the Bible says that he was more crafty than any beast of the field. He's a crafty little guy. I'm going to express why he is little. See, he's very crafty. It's an art to him. It's a pleasure to him. It's a pleasure to him to see what he can do to stop you. And so Paul's like, look, I'm going to tell you what the armor is so that you can stand up against him and to resist him. Because James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to understand that we have power to resist him. And he will flee from us. And accusations, if we resist this accusation, he will flee. And persecution. And deception. He will flee. Only if you resist. I want to take a look at what is the shield for? Well, I studied what the Roman shield was. It's awesome. I find it interesting. The Roman shield was about 4 feet tall. It's about 4 feet. James, come here. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that was horrible. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Boo. I'm sorry. I didn't even plan that. I'm sorry. He's actually like 5'8" or 7". I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It was about 4 feet tall, okay, and it was about 2.5 feet wide. So that's about 2.5 feet. I don't know. So the shield was pretty big, but it was used for two reasons, obviously, if you can imagine what a shield is used for. It was used to protect, but it was its primary use and its primary purpose of the shield was actually for offense. It was actually used to when you were attacking, that you'd use it to destroy or to knock over the enemy that you're going against. It was the main form of body protection, but it was also offensive, like I just said. What they would do with it is they would actually hit people with it. They would hack people with it, and all of them had a steel or I can't think of the word right now, but it had round edges, pretty much. And it was strong. And what they would do is when they were coming, they would hit people with them and they'd knock them. And also it had a point on the end of it and you'd hit people with it. Anyway, the purpose was that you would actually resist and that you would fight against people with it. Kind of feel weird kind of doing it. I don't have it on me. It's kind of weird. So you can laugh at me. It's okay. But that was what the shield was used for. So what does that mean? It means that our faith is the shield. Amen. Our faith, or the shield, represents our faith. And our faith fights and resists the enemy for us. Okay? But you have to understand that faith in and of itself is not... You can't have faith in faith. Faith in faith is of no effect. You have faith in the power of God. You have faith in what Jesus did on the cross. You have faith in that God is almighty and all-powerful. See, my Bible tells me that the devil is out to get us. And he's an accuser. And he's a persecutor. And he's out to deceive us. What's John 10:10 say? He comes. He does not come except to kill or steal, kill, and destroy. I looked up those words, and they mean steal, kill, and destroy. They literally mean he wants to kill you. As a matter of fact, he wants to physically kill you. That's his attempt, as long as you're resisting him, as long as you're in the fight of faith. Some of you are getting scared. Don't get scared. Because my Bible also tells me that our God is an awesome God, and he's a man of war, and he created that devil, that wicked one. And there's nothing that can stop our God. Amen? So yes, he might be crafty. And yes, he might have these wicked schemes and plans out to get us. But come on, we're on the Almighty God's side. He's on our side, and he's standing before us. Amen? The Bible says that he goes to accuse us. He stands before God the Father. He stands before God, and he's saying, this guy isn't worthy to teach. This guy isn't worthy to preach or worthy to declare that he's righteous. The devil stands before our God and accuses us all day. That's his job. But how many know we got somebody else standing before God? It's Jesus, our adversary. It's Jesus, not our adversary. It's Jesus, the righteous one. It's Jesus, the one, he's our high priest, and he stands before God, and he intercedes for us. He's our intercessor. He's the one that stands before us, and when the devil says something about us or against us, Jesus is there and says, yeah, he did do that, but just this morning he got covered by the blood, and he's forgiven. And so now you have no way of coming against him because he's forgiven under my blood. And so, yes, you do have the enemy against you, but you have to understand that Jesus, the righteous one, the intercessor, not the adversary. Jesus, the intercessor, is interceding for the church, for us today, and he's making us right with the Father. Amen? Amen. I want to give you three. If you got notes today, I want to give you 3 points, and we're going to kind of get going. 3 points. Is anybody taking notes? Awesome, man. Take notes. If you can't take notes, take them in your head. You can, if you want to remember, you can remember it by, we'll say, DAP, D-A-P. Okay, I just made that up. D-A-P. There's three ways I want to bring to you why and how the enemy comes against you. Come on, tonight, well, I'm just teaching. I'm not really preaching, just teaching. So just stay with me. And let's just have fun. So the first one is deceive. We talked about this. The first thing the enemy wants to do is he wants to deceive. What did he do in the garden? The first thing he did is he came to Adam and Eve. He came to Eve, the woman. Because Adam wasn't there watching out for her, right? See, the reality is that Adam should have been there watching out for his wife. He was probably just being a pansy. And he wasn't looking out for his wife. So all you guys are like, yeah, well, that's because the woman. The woman did it. Well, look, if the man would have been a man and stood before his wife, then this never would have happened. And that's the reality. So, was that a woman or was that? That was our pastor. Come on. But the first thing the enemy wants to do is he wants to deceive you. Did God really say? And see, you got to understand that the first thing that he's going to come to you and do before you ever sin or before you ever take a step outside of the will of God, he comes to you and he says, did God really say? Are you sure that sex before marriage is wrong? Is abortion really murder? It's the biggest talk of our culture right now. I might as well talk about it. Did God really say that if you sin, you will die? Did God really say that if you sin, you won't have life? Did God really say that you shouldn't live like this? Did God really say that cheating is lying, and if you lie, you break the covenant, you break the commandments? And the first thing he comes to you and he says, did God really say? Maybe not in those words, but you begin to ask yourself questions, is this okay? And are you sure? And I want to encourage you tonight to have faith. And have faith in this, in the truth. Have faith that God is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You guys read it before? It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Right? It says, whoever comes to him must come to him believing that he is. First, that he is or that he exists. The first thing that we have to do when the devil or anything comes against us and begins to challenge us or begins to ask us questions against righteousness, we have to put our faith, put our trust in the reality. Yes, God did say that that is sin. Yes, God did say that that is murder. Yes, God did say that that is wrong, and I'm not going to live like that. And so you can just sit there and just receive it and go, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe it's not that bad. And you're just getting deceived. Don't get deceived. Put your faith in the truth. The second part is he accuses. He comes to you, and after you sin or after you fail, he comes to you and he comes to accuse. He comes to tell you what you did wrong and why you're wrong and why you have no effect and why you're worthless. And why that promise that you want to receive isn't for you. You're not good enough. He wants to come to you and accuse you. Or he wants to go before the Father and accuse you. And he wants to tell you that you're not worthy and you're not good enough. But we know the reality is that we aren't good enough by ourselves. But that in Christ, in the blood, and covered by the blood, we are good enough, and we are righteous. Come on, somebody say amen, man. That's the gospel right there. That we are righteous, and that we are worthy, and that we are qualified. And I don't care what the devil says. See, the reality is that if you're not covered by the blood, or if you did sin, but you didn't repent and get right, well, yeah, he can come accuse you, and you're going to be accused. But if you're under the blood, and you've repented, and you've had your sins forgiven and washed, then you can stand up and resist the devil. And he will flee from you because you're covered by the blood. What's the Bible say? Revelation chapter 12. It says they overcame him. Who's him? The devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You're going to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb because he's the accuser. And the only way to defend and to resist the accuser is by the blood. It's telling him, you know what? You know, you're right. I'm not a good person, but I'm covered by the blood. So get away from me, devil. I'm righteous. So don't listen to those voices. Look, if you hear voices, it might be the Holy Spirit telling you to repent. Repent, forgive, receive forgiveness, forgive yourself, move on. If you keep hearing voices, that's the devil. That's where you got to resist it and say, no, I'm righteous. I'm born again. I'm blood bought. I've been paid by the blood. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you say. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God, and I'm covered by the blood. Amen? Amen. The third part is persecution. Now, we don't deal too much with persecution in our culture. But we do a little bit. I know of somebody who's been persecuted in parking lots. I'm looking at James. The guy's been like tackled and punched and hit with car doors and
for Jesus.
Persecution. In Revelation 12, you can go there. It's Revelation 12. I think it's like 9 through 12. I didn't write it down. Too bad. Revelation 9 through 12, it talks about, it gives three different names of who the devil is. It talks about how he's the accuser, he's the persecutor, and he's also he's the deceiver. And so it lists those three things, but then it gives ways that we overcome him. Well, the last one is that they overcame him by they didn't love their life unto death. So he is the persecutor. And yes, he is out to persecute you. And maybe when you got saved, you have people coming to you and saying, are you sure you want to do this? And people are making fun of you at school. And maybe your parents are yelling at you and saying that you're doing this and you shouldn't be doing this and you need to go back to do this. And you're getting persecuted for the faith. But you have to not love your life unto death. What's that mean? It means that I'm going to stand here and I'm going to put my faith in Christ. Whether you kill me or not. What's Job say? He's like, though he slay me, yet I trust in him. Though I'm persecuted, whether God tests me or tries me or puts me through tribulations or tests or trials, I'm going to stand here and I'm still going to put my trust in him. Why? Because what does Peter say in John 6? He's like, look, you had the words of eternal life. Remember when Jesus is like, hey, who else wants to leave? Do you guys want to leave also? And Peter goes, no, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so the idea is that I might be persecuted and people might make fun of me. And yes, maybe as this day and age goes on, we might be come against in the flesh and people might try and persecute us in the flesh. But our job as Christians is to not love our flesh, to not love our lives even unto death. And to have our faith and have our trust in God no matter what. Hebrews 11:6. We just said it, that those who come to him have faith that he is, or that he exists, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You got to know that even if you're persecuted, God's going to reward you. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5 and 6. He talks about it throughout the whole thing. You're going to be persecuted for the faith. You're going to be persecuted for it. But don't worry. I have a reward for you. Just keep on enduring. And so we have DAP. He's going to deceive, but you got to put your faith in God's word and the truth of God. He's going to accuse, but you got to put your faith in the blood and get covered by the blood, and he's going to persecute you. But don't love your life. If you see that people are persecuting you and coming against you, and you stop sharing the faith because of that, the only one source and reason is because you love your life. It's because you love yourself in a selfish way, and you care about your flesh and what you want more than what God wants. But if you get persecuted for the faith, you get persecuted and people make fun of you and they talk against you, but you still stand strong. Look, I love you and I forgive you. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but you're going to hell. You know, don't say that. That's wrong. But you stand up against and you resist. The reality is that there's a lot of realities when I talk, huh? I say reality a lot. We're going towards the promised land. If your faith is in God, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, He's going to reward you. What Paul's saying, he's saying, take up this shield. This faith is not just, well, I put my faith in God and, well, I resisted the devil one time and I'm good. Faith is an endurance. Faith is a race. Faith is a run. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon without a finish line, or the finish line is when you die. That sounds horrible, but it's a run. Some people say it's a walk. You can walk by faith. Take your time, just walk it. But the point is that when obstacles come up against you, you're going to resist it. When people come and say, that promised land isn't yours, you say, I don't care what you say, it is mine. My faith is in God, and I am a new man in Christ or a new woman. And I am going to heaven. I do have a promise with God. The purpose, look, our faith is in the promiser. Our hope is in the promise. We put our hope in what God's going to give us. But our faith is in the one who gives it. It's Jesus Christ. He is the one who crowns us with righteousness. Where is that? I think I just read it. It's in 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race or the course. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Look, God's going to reward you. I'm coming here tonight more than anything. If you just hear anything, hear this. Stay strong. Some of you just got saved. I don't even know if some of you are saved, but some of you just got saved. And some of you have been saved only for a few years. And some of you have been saved for a long time. The reality is that we've just begun. The reality. The Bible says that He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12. What's consider Him mean? We haven't even got to consider Him, so we're going to consider Him right now. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay hold aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, for the what? For the joy that was set before Him, for the promise that was for Him, for that joy that He would have many sons and daughters of glory, right? That He would one day see those who were dead in sin alive in Him and be seated with Him in heavenly places, right? For the joy set before Him endured the cross. He despised the shame and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then He says this, consider Him who endured such hostility for sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Tonight I felt like the Lord is wanting to encourage us to not give up, to not grow weary. Maybe some of you in here have been persecuted more than others. Maybe some of you are just frustrated with life, and maybe you get sick all the time, and you're like, I thought God's a healer. And maybe some of you just have people make fun of you. Maybe some of you just keep going back into the life of sin. Maybe some of you are so tempted to go back and to live the new life or live another life. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Come on, I said don't give up. Amen. I said endure. Fight the good fight of faith. This is a fight. You're not going to get the promise just because. And if it was that easy, then we wouldn't be struggling. No, but we struggle and we wrestle against principalities and powers. Fight the fight of faith. But what's going to keep you strong is knowing what Jesus endured, knowing what Jesus did on the cross. It says, consider Him so that you don't grow weary. I want to consider Him tonight. I want all of us at one time to go back and to look at. Gabriel, you're always talking about the cross. Yes, I am. I love it. It's the best thing. Amen? Because the cross is where we get our hope. The cross is where we get our strength. What Jesus did on the cross is where we get our forgiveness. What Jesus did on the cross is where we get our power. Come on, what Jesus did on the cross is where we get our boldness. You know the Bible says that the righteous, Those who are righteous are bold as a lion. You know, there might be a lion out there coming against you, but those who are righteous are bold as a lion. And the lion in them is greater. Come on, the lion in them is greater than the lion or the devourer in the world. Because the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on trusting in God. I don't care if you've been sick and things keep happening. I don't have all the right things to apply to you right now. But I do know that there's things that happen and things come and things go and people hurt you. But don't give up and keep your faith in God. I got some scriptures for you. I think the worship team's coming up here. And so I invite them. I invite you to come. Let's consider what Jesus said. John 16:33, I have told you these things. Come on, let's all fix our eyes on him right now. We're about here to finish. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. He says you will have trouble. You will face trouble. Things will come against you. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Come on. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Matthew 16:18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Matthew 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm your soul if you put your faith in me. Your shield will protect you. This faith will protect you from the enemy. If you're taking notes, write 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. Go home and study that. Just read what it means. If you put your faith in the power of God, you will be protected, is what it says. 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Who? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. I'm talking about overcoming. I'm talking about resisting the devil. I'm talking about when things... Is anybody here tonight? Is anybody want to overcome the devil?
Yeah.
Okay, so when I'm talking about overcoming the devil, let's get excited because we now have power. Outside of Christ and outside of the cross, you have no power. You are worthless and you are weak. But with Christ, you are strong. Amen? Yes. Amen. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Our faith has overcome the world. Who is it that overcomes the world, he says? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, Jesus Christ gives us the victory. Amen? Worship team, you guys can come up again for the third time. Just kidding. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Who's them? He's saying, look, John's saying, look, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Them are the spirits. He's talking about testing spirits. He's talking about overcoming spirits, principalities, powers. He's saying you're from God and you have overcome them already. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Look, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. I said God hasn't given you a spirit of fear or of timidity. God hasn't given you a spirit of giving up. Man, let me ask you a question. If somebody gave you a million, maybe Bill Gates, let's just say Bill Gates because he's a popular name. We'll say Bill Gates said, look, I'm going to put $1 million in your bank account. You have 3 hours to go from the North Pole. That's a long ways. From Fairbanks to Anchorage. And if you get to the bank in 3 hours, I'll give you $1 million. But if you don't get there, I'm telling you, look, you're going to get your butt going and you're going to get there as fast as you can. It doesn't matter what gets in your way. You're going to get it. Why? Because it's yours. I'm not saying there's a time limit to your promised land, but I am saying is that if you understand that the promise is yours, nothing's going to get in your way because it's your promise. Fight for your promise and consider him. Don't grow weary. 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Tonight I'm telling you that you're not one of those who shrink back and are destroyed and fall away and fall back into sin. But you're those who put your trust and put your faith and put your eyes back on what Jesus did on the cross. And you focus on that. And my goodness, if that's all you focus on, you sit there all day long and you sit on your couch and you're just focusing on what Jesus did on the cross. And if that's going to make you strong, then by golly, do it. Whatever you got to do to be strong and to be renewed in your strength, just wait. Just sit there and wait. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Come on. They will mount up on wings like eagle. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and they won't faint. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He's the God that always causes us to triumph in Christ. Would you stand with me? Some of you tonight are those lights are really bright. Sorry. Some of you tonight are growing weary. Some of you tonight have even asked yourself, even this week, well, I'm done. This whole faith thing, this whole Jesus thing, I don't know. And you've already questioned yourself. This week you've thought of giving up. This week you've thought of laying down. I'm here to tell you tonight, consider Him. Amen. Man, if you consider Him, the one who took lashes on the back, the one who carried His cross, man, we're talking about somebody making fun of us? We're talking about thinking back, going back and living a life of sin or even just sinning once? Why? It's like a dog that goes back to its puke. Man, consider Him who carried the cross to the top of the hill and who forgave all that came in His way and loved all. And then He died and He defeated death. Come on, I said He defeated death. And now that in Him, all of you who have faith in Christ have defeated death and have defeated the enemy. And so I tell you tonight to stay strong and don't grow weary. Our God is an awesome God. And He causes you to triumph. Amen. We're going to worship. Heavenly Father, tonight, I encourage you to wait on the Lord. We got 5 minutes, so you can just do whatever you want. But tonight I encourage you to wait on the Lord. Tonight I encourage you to wait and to have Him renew you and to strengthen you. Heavenly Father, tonight we wait on You. Come on, just begin to call out to Him. Come on, put your faith, put your trust, put your eyes, meditate on Him. Come on, consider what He did. Don't grow weary. He's on your side. God, tonight we consider You. We remember You. We put our faith and put our trust back on You.
Hey, Tamara, you want to change the lights around for me a little bit? As Gabriel was preaching, I believe the Lord just started to stir me for the altar call. Faith is a big deal. The Bible says, take up the shield of faith. And that means that when we grow weary, the shield can fall down. And then we take arrows right to the chest. We take them right to the body. And like we suffer for it. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I believe what the Lord wants to wrap tonight up with is it's so important for you to take up the shield of faith. There's people in this room, you've had authority figures in your life and they've stepped on your faith. You've had parents, you've had pastors, you've had people in your life. You've had a passion to go and do something great for God, and you picked up that shield, and it was mighty, and it was going to protect you, and it was going to gain ground for the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the line, you grew weary, and the shield became heavy. Tonight, the Lord wants to minister to you. Some of you, you've been in high school, you've been in college, and a professor, a teacher has mocked you, has taken a shot at your faith, and you've grown weary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I believe the Lord tonight wants to just strengthen you. The faith in God to accomplish the things of God, to see your friends won. You went to a camp, you saw 10 faces of friends that were broken and hurting, and you saw them and you had a passion for them, and now somehow that burden's become heavy. God wants to strengthen your faith tonight. Tonight, if you want God to strengthen your faith, I want you to come down. Just real quick, I just want you to come down front. You feel it's heavy. You feel the burden of ministry. You feel the burden of your friends, but you don't feel the protection of faith. You don't feel like you're a victor. You feel like you're a victim in your life. James Phillips, I want you to come down for this if you would, my friend. God has done amazing things in you, and you've taken lots and lots and lots of hits, and God just wants to strengthen your faith tonight. We train ourselves and we train people in this ministry, but when it all boils down to it, faith is what protects us. The fact that God is who He said He is, and no matter what comes against us, we're going to win. No matter what darts the enemy sends against us, we flee sin and we resist the devil. If you're down here tonight, I just want you to get your heart in a place of receiving. Pastor Gabe, if you want to come down and start ministering to people. Ashley, if you want to come minister. If you're a leader here and you're just feeling full of faith tonight, we just want to start imparting freshness. Freshness where it's been heavy. Spirit of God, right now, I'm praying for everyone that's down front here. God, I'm asking right now that you would renew their faith, God. God, that the impossible things that were in their hearts to do for you, God, would be restored. God, the weight and the burden, the responsibility would be lifted, God, and they would feel the freshness of faith, God. God, they would lay hold of the promises of God, that the devil is a liar, and God's promises are faithful every day. God, strengthen Lindsay's faith right now, God, to believe God for her school in Jesus' name. God, I'm praying right now that you would fill this group. Come on. Everyone out there, I want you to pray for this group right now. God doesn't fill us with faith so we can hold back. He fills us with faith because we have a battle to win. We have ground to take. Amen? God, right now I'm asking that you would loose a fresh measure of faith right now. I break the lies of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. If there's been a Christian leader that's told you that God can't do something in your life, you just break that off right now. The devil's a liar. You honor and you respect that authority, but you don't buy the lie. Right now, God, break off doubt, break off unbelief. God, fill him with a fresh measure of faith tonight, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Worship team, we just want to worship for a while. We love you guys. You guys are free just to stay and worship. If you're there and you just want the Lord just to impart fresh faith to you, just ask Him for it tonight. We're going to stay here until we're done. Amen.